Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast. Our gospel lesson is from Gospel of John this morning, and this, as it begins, this is taking place on the night of the resurrection. So Sunday morning, the women had gone out to the tomb, found it empty, and then later on that night, we begin in this passage here. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words from John's gospel. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the reading. And thanks be to God. Thomas touched Jesus. Thomas touched the risen Jesus that mysteriously appeared in the room that they had locked themselves in. An extraordinary moment, I should think. An extraordinary moment. Imagine being Thomas. You've watched your friend die. Watched to be crucified. You were there, or at least heard about putting the body, his body, into the tomb, and then you hear from your friends a few days later. You hear from your friends that they've seen him, that he's risen, he's been resurrected, he's come back to life. You hear the news that he's now alive. And then you get a chance to see him, to know it's true, to touch him, to touch Jesus, fleshly, incarnate, human Jesus. Imagine touching someone that you thought was dead, or someone that you knew was dead. There are times I have wished I could touch my parents again, get a hug from my mom, taste her rhubarb pie again, have a handshake from my dad again. And I don't know if there's an equivalent for women like this, but I think for men, for males, many of us have that experience, and one that I had with my dad of shaking his hands many times over the years as I was growing up, but there comes that one handshake when you can tell, you can feel that dad's not shaking hands with a boy anymore, but is shaking hands with a fellow man. Something about that. Would like to experience that again. We're a fleshly people. We live in bodies. We are embodied. We are fleshy, and we touch one another. Hold hands, passing the peace, hugging, whatever. We communicate through fleshly interaction. We can even communicate thoughts and ideas and hopes and prayers that words themselves cannot express. The hand on the shoulder, the pat on the back, the handshake, the hug, communicating things that words alone can't do. Although even words, speech is also this fleshy, touchy kind of act. It's a physical thing. I speak, I set the air in motion. And the air moves toward you. And it touches your eardrum, sets the eardrum in motion, creates patterns in your brain that communicate my thoughts into your head. A physical act. That's probably why noise pollution can be so psychologically damaging, because it's forced touch. It's like being poked repeatedly, something that you can't stop, you can't shut out, you can't keep the sound from coming in. We are fleshly, touching people. You may remember the old telephone ad. Reach out and touch someone. Touching them by phone. To touch. To touch again a loved one. The friend who has moved away. Maybe the babysitter that we remember that we haven't seen since we were babysat. Someone from your past. A teacher. A mentor. Or a mother or father. Or a wife, or a husband, or a lover who has died, no longer around to touch. But we don't get to touch them again. Not if they've died. Not if they've died. We don't get to touch them again, but that desire is there. Over the years, I've done many funerals, been to many funerals, and I have witnessed many, many times a spouse taking a last kiss or touch of the forehead or of the hair or holding of the hands that last time before the undertaker closes the casket before the funeral. To touch one last time, one last touch before the tomb is sealed. To put body to body. After my dad died, Dad died first, and Mom was still alive, and talked to her a few months after Dad had died, and catching up, how you doing, how are things going, how is everything. We got to talking about her times of grief and pain and what the daily routines was like. And she said that of all the ways that she missed my dad, of all the kind of moments of pain that came up throughout the day of missing Dad and realizing he's not there, she said the most painful moment of every day was getting into bed alone. That for her was the hardest part. To not have someone else in the bed. The rest of the day felt a little more normal, but that is when it really came home, that there is no body, no dad there. And so I'm not going to blame Thomas here for wanting to touch Jesus. I'm not going to blame Thomas or call him names, because we all know that we don't get to touch again those who have died. And Thomas wants to touch his friend who has died, who had come back. Of course he wants to touch him. I think we all would want to touch those that we were sure were dead. I would want to hold again my parents or relatives or friends that have died if they came back. Absolutely. Absolutely, to touch them again, just A, to make sure they're real, that it's really happening, but also to embrace them again, to feel their flesh against my flesh. Doubting Thomas? Not at all. I think that's an awful name to saddle him with through all these years, Doubting Thomas. I think we all would have been Doubting Thomas. Think even of our sacraments. We're fleshy beings. Thomas wants to touch. Even our sacraments are physical, the bread and the wine of communion. Bread is physical. You can touch it, break it, hear it breaking, taste it, feel it in your hands, the wine, the sound of the pouring, the taste of the liquid on your lips, the feel of it in your mouth. Baptism. We baptize with water. It's wet, touchable. It has a sound, a color, and a smell, and a shape. And so Thomas, of course Thomas wants to touch. He wants some fleshly proof. That's just good science, too, to be a little skeptical, to say, well, let me test it with my senses. I don't want to just believe it because you said it. I want to feel it. I want to touch it. I want to see. So maybe we could call him Scientist Thomas, Scientific Thomas. Let me embrace him one more time, Friend Thomas. Thomas who says, my Lord and my God. Recognizer Thomas. He knows who Jesus is. The other disciples don't make that connection between Jesus, their friend, Jesus, the Lord, Jesus, the flesh, and Jesus, the God. Thomas does. Thomas makes the connection of them all being one. Intuitive Thomas. Good Thomas. Insightful Thomas. Faith-proclaiming Thomas. And thank God for Thomas and for all the Thomases who ask that question, why should I believe you just because you say it is so? Let me also trust with my senses, with my flesh. And all those Thomases who by asking lead us to even greater truths or more extraordinary truths by refusing to settle for easy answers or to settle for simple questions or to accept unexplored, unquestioned claims. Inquisitive Thomas. John's Gospel begins, the very first words of John's Gospel. And it was John that we read from today. The very beginning of John's Gospel starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word of God became flesh and lived among us. That's the beginning of the Gospel. And John's Gospel ends here with the text that we read today. There's a little bit after this, but this is really the ending of the Gospel. This is what ties it all together. These opening words, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Those opening words are confirmed by Thomas here. Thomas who refused to live by faith and not by sight. Thomas who wanted to live by both. By faith and sight, and by demanding both, he has that remarkable insight to roll away the stone on those first words of the Gospel and to see their fulfillment in the resurrected Jesus. and to say, "My Lord and my God." You are my Lord. I see also you are my God. You are God made flesh, dwelling among us, incarnate, human, fleshy, intimate, present, touchable God. Amen. And that is the good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.